Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Echo Chamber, also known as the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Justin will be with us here in a few minutes. And I want to wish everybody a happy Monday afternoon here, January 14th, 2019. So here we are, trudging into the new year, and just a whole lot going on. Well, today we have a very special guest. You know that we scour the globe, finding very interesting guests for the show that represent nearly every facet of coaching or helping people possible. And today is certainly a first for us. Our guest is actually an influencer on Snapchat. His primary medium is Snapchat. And you'll have to forgive me. I have a cold, trying to get rid of this cold. But the show must go on. Anyway, but on Snapchat, this young man is really kind of one of the first people, one of the OGs, first guys there on Snapchat. We're just going to talk about his experience, what he's been able to do using Snapchat. You know, this is a person who is well over a million on his Snap score. We might explain what that means here in a few minutes. So without further ado, here's our guest, Winston Herman. Winston, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So it's been a couple of years, I think, since you started the account, your Snap account. Kind of walk our listeners through what was going on in your life at the time you began and why you chose Snapchat.
So originally Snapchat kind of blew up around 2-3 years ago, and that's when I kind of started it. And I really didn't think much of it. It was more of just talking to friends and everything. And about a year ago, I started gaining a little bit of a following, and then it just started picking up after that. And it just kind of went with everything that was happening with all the social media blowing up, like Twitter and Instagram. Snapchat just kind of went along with it.
What was it about Snapchat that you really liked compared to, let's say, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter?
Snapchat's just more of, you can get a personal feeling for people where you can see their face. Unlike Twitter, where it's just replies and people can just scroll through, it's more personal. So if somebody had a problem or if they ever needed anything in their life, they could hit you up or contact you or anything that you needed and that you could help them.
Okay, so people can do stories and people can do pictures and responses to you individually. Kind of talk about the difference between the stories and the individuals and how you grew your following base.
So the difference between stories and sending regular snaps are stories stay on your page for 24 hours and then they just delete. Snaps are sent to the person directly themselves, where you can have a conversation one-on-one, or you can make a group chat. But basically, it's just getting able to talk to people from the story to regular snap is different.
So when I did this just because I have kids, so I did open up an account. And so I had people that were in my contact list that I could bring into my Snap world, so to speak, that I could communicate using Snapchat. Now, I know back in the day, a ton of kids would put their Snap code on their Instagram, you know, and you could take a picture of the little picture in the Snap code, or you could add them by username. But how in the world were you able to get so many people? You know what I mean? You have, how many people do you have now that follow you or have you on their Snapchat?
Around 7,000. I hope to hit around 50,000 by the end of 2019.
Okay. So that's pretty good. So How were you able to amass the 7,000? By what techniques did you use to get that many people?
So in the beginning, it was more of just adding people off of contacts and people that just popped up on Snapchat for me. But as you started getting more people, you started getting more people that you knew. You could start adding more people from that because they were friends of other friends. And from there, you kind of just get a following of your area. And the way to expand more on that is posting on your story and then people sharing it. Or you go to the lookup bar and you type in random usernames that you can think of any day. And you can add everybody that's down there and you just get ads from that. And then they add you back. And then that's how you get the following from there.
Wow. So, and this is something that I think this is a good thing when you're trying to build a brand, trying to build a following base. This is kind of a bad thing as a parent. I'm almost kind of freaking out now. Hopefully my kids, you know what I mean? You could just add all these random people. That was the whole thing. Like I could just type this in and just add any mofo over here and do, do, do. And I know there's all these, people kind of come up randomly for me, you know, as I'm going through there, I can these subscription type of people and stuff like that. And so anyway, but back to
Bruce.
Yes, there he is.
Bruce, you know you're doing that anyway, though. Come on. Like, he's trying to act like he's the prototypical baby boomer. But let's be honest, Bruce, you're pretty active on social media.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I ain't going to lie, man. I mean, I'm the Facebook, you know, chief of centers on Facebook and a pretty good lieutenant on Instagram, trying to come up on 5 grand on Instagram. Make no mistake about it. You got me. But, dude, I mean, I just didn't really – it seems to me like Snapchat, you have to really peel that onion like more deliberately and kind of figure out the mechanics. That's just my, you know what I mean? Instagram and Facebook, everything's kind of laid out there for you. You kind of see the mechanisms, but on this one, this was kind of like, in its infancy, I think it was intended to be this kind of like, okay, you could send these pictures and they'll disappear. And it really did have this kind of subversive element to it. Now it's quite the opposite. Now, you know, people have people everywhere and whatever else. So I would
just be curious, kind of in this vein that we're talking about, you know, strategy, which was one of my biggest questions, because listen, I'm personally kind of interested in, from a Snapchat perspective, I feel like Snapchat's made a bit of a comeback, and I don't mean that as a deliberate attack to Snapchat, but, you know, Snapchat came out of the gate strong, and then I think it waned for a bit, you know, as I saw it anyway. Again, you know, not an expert in it at all, but just sort of market observations, and it appears to be making quite a bit of a comeback. You know, I'd be curious from your perspective, you know, just continuing on this thread of discussion around strategy, you know, how do you see it really fitting in across the board of all the different social media outlets, and maybe in particular your social media outlets as you approach them? And what is it that's like that unique, I guess, ingredient, and maybe for the Gen, you know, Zers, right, that makes Snapchat so ridiculously attractive as compared to the other mediums? Because, you know, a lot of them now, like you look at Instagram's added or is in the process of adding all the same features as Snapchat. But yet the Gen Zers still prefer Snapchat. Yeah. Can you maybe speak to that for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I did see that of Snapchat kind of going down because they had this huge update that kind of ruined people with a lot of viewers. Like, they couldn't view their stories or it wouldn't come up to them or anything. And it's slowly picking back up, but it's still, people are struggling to find other people's stories. And it's like, unless you have that subscription coming in where people can subscribe to your Snapchat story and see it whenever they want, you can't really keep a steady flow of views in. But I mean, Snapchat kind of does have a different perspective. Like, YouTube has started doing what Snapchat has, where they have stories. Instagram is doing it too, but Snapchat is more personal. You can get to a level, unlike Instagram, where you post a picture and people just comment and then that's it. There's nothing really after that unless you text them or they
It is kind of vicarious. There is a psychological element. You like feel like you're peeping into the person's life. That's pretty creepy. Not peeping, but yeah, but you are a part of it. The person's taking a picture. This is my life right now, or good vibes only, or whatever. And it's this picture. And when you see it on Instagram, it still seems more third person. You know what I mean? But when you see it in your phone, it's almost like that camera is in the room with that person right now. I'm going to put words in your mouth. Well, that's a good one, Justin. And since, you know, Justin's a businessman, so here we go. So let's go ahead and go into business. Go ahead and talk about when you were looking at monetizing. You had a big follower base. Talk about that kind of host skater and that transition to be an Amazon affiliate and how they reroute links that are specific to you. Go ahead and talk about, but go back to the host skater day.
Okay. So originally I was first looking at followings and how most people go with followings, but I was really interested about seeing how my Snapchat could make money with all the people that I have. So I looked on a website and there were a few ideas about starting your own business or creating your own merch or becoming an affiliate. And affiliate is kind of a weird subject because you're using somebody else's website and using your people that you have on your account or Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and moving them to their website to kind of check it out for them to where they get more people on their website. So I started out with HostGator, where it's a website creating website. And I had my own link that I signed up for where if people swiped up on my story, they would end up going to the HostGator through my link. And when they signed up, I would get a part of whatever they used to start out. So if they picked a free account, they would give me a little bit of money. But if they went out and got the biggest account they could, then I would get a portion of that back. And then I slowly picked it up from there. I tried looking on other websites like H&M, Amazon, eBay, Walmart, and all these other ones. And with eBay, it's kind of your own choice. You can pick what item you want and then you reroute it to your own link and people swipe up from there and you get a portion of that profit from the item that you sold. So I could have AirPods on there. I could have books, clothing, necklaces, hats, or anything is being sold on Amazon, I could sell and get a portion of that profit off.
Okay. So
this is sort of new to me. I mean, I've heard of this conceptually and monetizing in this way, but I'm curious and want to drill in a little bit more. So does the seller, in the case of either an Amazon or eBay, do they have to provide that unique code out to the market, or is this something that would be publicly accessible by anyone and for any lot item out there in a, you know, online marketplace?
I mean, anybody can sign up for it. It's just, if you have 200 people, you can do it. You can have as many people as you want. But the reason why I did is because I had that big of a following to where I feel I could get some off of it. But anybody can go in and click affiliate on eBay and basically sign up and get their own link for whatever product they want. But you're not guaranteed any money unless somebody makes a purchase.
Okay, so they're just affiliate back, you know, links and backlinks. Yeah. Then okay, all right, got it.
But I mean, I kind of like that because one of your products was right. There were these Airbud kind of sort of knockoffs that were Supreme, had a Supreme sticker on them. I feel you. Hey, get in. Okay, so and that was on Amazon, right? So you went Amazon affiliate. Pick the product. They gave you a link just for those Airbud looking Supreme units, right? And so then you could say on your Snap, hey, if you're interested in this, check these out on sale for this, swipe up, and then bang. And so that produced for you, right?
I mean, it depends on how you sell them. Some people just post a picture of like the website, like Amazon with the Airbuds in them, but some people have decided to take it a little bit differently and actually buy the product and show people the product, kind of like a tech review. That way people know, okay, it actually is a good product and he's actually got them in his hands. And then people will be like, maybe I will buy it then because he likes it and everybody. And then That's how it happens better.
I think you did one of those, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because you had the product and you're like, okay, I like this product. So people have that loyalty because if you like it, then they'll like it.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
And then the money comes through like a PayPal or whatever.
Yeah, PayPal usually is the way.
All right. That's kind of interesting. So you could, that is interesting, isn't it, Justin? Like any product that was out there, you could be an affiliate. And if you thought you could sell it to your followers or to some of your followers at a pretty decent venue, you would get a kickback on that. You know, we were talking earlier. He said when he was doing HostGator, I mean, how many Generation Z's want to go out there and get a URL and their own server? I mean, he's laughing right now, like, who does that, right? But back in my day, it's like, wow, you know, I want to get my own website from HostGator and have them host it on a trash server with a bunch of porn sites. Anyway, just kidding.
No, you're not, though.
I'm not. No, dude, I was a victim. I was on I had a HostGator site, man. I had the baby package. Oh, I got eaten alive by the Chinese and porn. It was crazy. I went with a Booz Allen Hamilton.
Oh, so that's where all your followers came from then.
No, yes. Okay. I kept all the porn and the Chinese people. Yeah, I'm a robot for the Chinese and Putin.
It's funny you mentioned that, though, because I've always considered it, I mean, this is kind of a follow-on question. So how do you – so what will be your strategy? I'm curious the Gen Z perspective on this strategy for continuing to monetize with all the disruption in the market, A, and B, with, I would say, this underlying perception challenge that Snapchat probably has and probably always will have. And I'm one of them that has it, by the way, of being a nudie platform, basically. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it just really depends on what you want to do with Snapchat, though. I mean, you can really go off on anything with it.
I'll say this. I mean, I'm kind of getting in my Snap scores now, cleared, you know, 10,000. Thank you. Kind of spread my wings a little bit on it. A lot of people, it's the same stuff, Justin. It's just more live theater. Like, here's me and my dog. Here's what I'm doing on Saturday night. Here's this great meal I'm eating. You know, every now and again, you get some of the makeup people. I'm making up. We're doing this. But it's more of like, people are at a party or at a house badly. So yeah, it's not more of a nudie thing. It can be more of this, you know, cause I got a bunch of kids from Alabama, Arkansas, some SEC frat boys on there, and they forget that they're posting crap on their story. Like, dude, you don't want this, you know, going out there on your story. But yeah, So Justin, you're thinking even from your perspective that Snapchat kind of has that, what, I don't want to say dark, but that kind of reputation of being more for nudes and whatnot?
I mean, that's how I always used it back in the day.
My number one dick pic carrier. Good Lord. Okay. Well,
I mean, I'm just, hey, you know, if we're gonna have an honest conversation here, let's let it fly.
Well, folks, let me be the first to tell you that Bruce Cameron has not sent any pictures. I'm the most clothed person on Snapchat for sure. On the days I'm not wearing a turtleneck, man, that's when I'm going all out in the summer. Just kidding, man. No. Oh, but seriously, I hear what you're saying, Justin, and really, that was the allure. That was it, you know. And then back in the day, I was still with the feds at that time, and the FBI had like 13 or 14 agents at one of their server sites in Ohio, another one in Los Angeles, and all they were doing was processing warrants for production of child porn, distribution of child porn, possession of child porn. And they were getting these images off, you know, and just busting people left and right. But anyway, this is a new day here, right? And I'm sure some of that still exists. I'm not going to lie. But I think now, let me ask you this, though, Winston. Do you think that some of that stuff, because you were right there in the beginning, and you're in your early 20s right now, right? And do you think that some of that's lost its luster? It's like, oh, whatever. I mean, nobody does nudes anymore. Do you think that's more of a younger person thing getting off the ground?
I mean, yeah, with Snapchat, that was kind of the way it started out, because as soon as you sent it and they opened it, it was gone. There's no way for anybody else to see it unless you screenshotted it or anything that you did. But I mean, I really can't say if it's kind of lost interest, but I feel when people go to parties, some of that stuff is there, but it's not through Snapchat. But you can kind of get an image off of people's stories and see what they're doing, and it's
right.
Not really their thing anymore for Snapchat, but they kind of do stuff in the real life.
Yeah. Yeah, people go on trips. I know Christmas time people went on trips and vacations, and they'd have a story about what they were doing during the trip and the vacation and stuff like that. So anyway, but that is interesting. He has a base, able to do an affiliate link, monetize that a little bit. Is there any other ways that you've seen people monetize?
I mean, I've seen other people promote other people's YouTube channels or their own YouTube channels. So if you had a huge following and you just started an Instagram, you could start your own Instagram and promote that. Or if you want to start a YouTube channel, you could promote that off of your following on Snapchat. Or just anything you really wanted to promote, you could make money off of about everything.
Okay, cool. Now, in addition to a business aspect, you've really reached a lot of people and almost like in a mental health and counseling aspect. And you're not a mental health counselor. You're just a college kid trying to make it through. So I've noticed, and you've shared with me before where people, you had a campaign, it seems like, recently about positivity and the new year. Talk a little bit about that and maybe talk about, I think there's one of the people you'd even talked about was almost suicidal, and you kind of helped redirect them. So kind of talk about that campaign and how people responded to that little movement that you had going.
Yeah, I mean, I really kind of started this because I felt like everyone has gone through a time in their life where they felt low or they felt alone, and they never really had anybody to talk to. I mean, of course you can say, no, you didn't, but you probably had a little bit in your life where you did. So with that getting in my mind, I was kind of like, I need to stretch out and make sure people don't feel alone, because when you feel alone, it's just not a good feeling overall in life. And I just started posting positive vibes about a year and a half ago, where I just started saying kind things or telling people you can do it, or just having these messages where it would spread some sort of positivity to somebody that would read it. And I would always get these comments from people saying, hey, keep it up. I love what you're doing. I really needed this in my life. It helped me feel better because my mom died, or my dog died, or my fish died, or I lost a friend, or I lost my boyfriend. And they would swipe up, and I would kind of just talk to them and see what they're feeling and just how they're feeling. I would always check up on them, whether it's a week or a month or a day. I would always come back and just see how they're doing after everything happened. And if they still weren't feeling right from it, I would always kind of help them a little bit, whether that's maybe you could get off of social media a little bit, not look at other people posting stuff, and just telling them different things they could do to stay positive and not feel down.
Cool.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you know, so necessary. And do you feel like, so, I mean, obviously you've had success with Snapchat as a forum for that. I mean, do you see that continuing, that trend continuing, or do you think you're going to need to pivot in you know, future, you know, days and years? I mean, what's the sentiment of the Gen Z generation, a cohort, if you will, as far as coaching, right? Like, how do you perceive coaching? Is that an ideal outlook, because maybe it is a little bit more private and kind of one-to-one? Could you just talk a little bit about that and what you've seen, and also kind of what you've helped enact?
I mean, yeah, I've had multiple people tell me certain stuff, whether they're from Texas, New York, Canada, France, or anywhere. They try their best to communicate what they're feeling, what they've gone through, and what else has happened in their life that they kind of need help with, whether that being, oh, my grandma just died and I wasn't too sad about that, but then my mom started feeling down and she started feeling suicidal. And it's just talking through them and just making sure that even though they're going through a hard time, there always will be better. Even if you do feel like you'll never feel better in your life, there will always be something good that comes out of it. Because if you keep a negative mindset, it will stay negative and you will never become positive. But if you change that mindset, it will grow to be something positive. It's kind of like a breaking up with your girlfriend. You break up with her and you feel like, man, I have nothing to deal with. All I do is think about her. And as soon as that thought leaves your mind of, I can't stop thinking about her, somebody pops into your life, whether it's a friend or another girl, or just you get closer with somebody. And that's just kind of the way I feel. And that's what I tell people to try to do.
I've certainly had that experience in my life. So I'm glad you brought that up. And it is so true. Bruce, you're laughing because you know that story intimately. But
Yeah. It's got dust on it, but I remember. Mm-hmm. But, how fresh is that? You know, I mean, if you really break this down, so Instagram is just pictures and you're scrolling through pictures, just these still pictures, how many likes, people can comment, people can like it. But yet, again, there's just that more distance element. Now, Instagram and Facebook both have the stories, just like Snap does. But people, it seems like people want more. This is going to be my little rant. And Justin, I have both of you guys kind of bat me. It seems like people want more. When I've put up a story, you know, that was fairly decent or whatever, with a couple of different frames of different things, man, I might have 100, 130 viewers of that story, which is for an old man epic, you know, on Snapchat. And then whenever I do something live, Justin, if I do an Instagram live and I'm just taking a live shot of my couch here in Salt Lake and maybe, you know, my blazer or something, maybe the clock on the wall. I mean, people just want to see what's going on. They have that vicarious sense. They just want to see what's going on just to see what's going on. You know what I mean? It's, believe me, the Bruce Cameron brand is pretty musty. But so it speaks to me that, oh man, I'm just going to see what that dude's doing. And so there, it is this kind of interesting, and I want to say voyeuristic, and that implies a fetish, and I don't want to do that, but it really shows how close, it just seems like it's a more closer, intimate experience than just, you know, like Facebook or Instagram. I mean, Facebook gets a lot of heat from your generation, right? He's shaking his head over here like, oh, Facebook, what are you talking about? Like castor oil and just, you know, polio vaccination. He's saying way back in time, right? But it's like, right, because it's kind of stale. These kids, young adults rather, on the Gen Z, you know, I think they're really thirsty for that kind of close experience, and that's what you're giving them on your Snapchat, and that's what you're giving them with the feedback, right?
Yeah, I mean, with certain people, they want to see kind of what you're doing. So if you're a friend of them, they're like, oh, he went to so-and-so's house or something like that. You can always see what they're doing and kind of catch up on their life, even though you're not there with them in person. They can see what you're doing. But I mean, it's also a little bit of people knowing that you're human, even though you have this huge following. I still grocery shop. I still go to school. I'm not just sitting at home posting Snapchats. It's looking like I'm a human instead of just a person that's here posting on my Snapchat, and that's all I do. So.
That's an interesting point because, you know, one thing I struggle with, and I think it's a disparity across generations, is you called it voyeurism, Bruce, which I love, but I call it the reality TV epidemic, right?
Right.
You know, the Kardashian syndrome, where, like, you know, everything has to, we have to, you know, post when we take a shit. I mean, like, you know, I'm joking, obviously, but there's some truth to it. And so it's interesting, the Gen Z perspective, which is, it sounds like, you know, Weston, what you're saying is it humanizes, or your generation sees it as a way of humanizing things. I feel like the older generations tend to, or at least what I've observed, see it as the opposite, though. Like, it comes off as artificial. Bruce, I don't know, have you observed that too? And you're, I mean, we're kind of all speaking across different generations here, but to me, this is that kind of, I see it, at least in our generation, the millennials, it's kind of crosses as both, but how do you see it in sort of the X and boomer generations?
Yeah, for the last boomer, or second to last boomer, you know, when I first, you know, if I wasn't a licensed counselor and seeing youth, I would have never, ever done Snapchat. And I have two kids that are Z's, which kind of, it pushed me into the medium just because they were constantly on their snaps, constantly looking at filters, constantly sharing, hey man, look at this dude pull this other guy out of a ditch. And before it used to be YouTube videos, like they'd watch a fail compilation of people, you know, getting their ass beat or falling off of a skateboard. But now, man, they can see these fails for school fights just live. You know, people haul their camera and start videoing. Okay, so here, long story short is, I think in a strange way, it brings people closer. In other words, like if I'm doing a Snap story video of me going up a chairlift or going down a ski slope or at a party, or, you know, a lot of people, when the New Orleans Saints won, I had an inordinate amount of fans. I could see them dancing in front of their TV and going nuts. And it's like, wow, it's almost like I'm at that party. You know, it's like, or I'm living that with you. Like, oh man, that trip to Vail must have been fun, man. It was great weather that day that you're on the chairlift, right? Like, yeah, you see what I mean? And so all of a sudden you're just, you can really, if you ever do a conversation, but you could DM or you could snap back, you know, your thoughts about the matter. So I just think it gives a level of detail and almost a better level of intimacy, because I can really empathize with what you're doing because I'm seeing it. That looked like a good party, or ooh, that looked like a lame party, or ooh, that person's passed out over there on the corner. Did y'all call the cops? Or, you know, so anyway, I did not think this way going into it. I thought it was just the dumbest thing ever. I thought it was the kind of the nudie thing, and you could obscure, you could have this false anonymity, and but now I think the medium's really elevated into, I don't want to say a lifestyle, but certainly, because like you said, you know, you still go to school, you go to work or whatever, but I think it really is kind of the first go-to for a lot of Generation Z's for what they do.
Yeah, I mean, the way I kind of see it is, back then in the summertime, you would always come back and your friends would be like, hey, what'd you do? Now they're just looking at your store and they're like, oh, that seemed pretty fun, like what you did in the summer. Where'd you actually go and what'd you see? They saw it on your story instead of having to ask. You don't have to come back and tell them, oh, yeah, I just went to Brazil. And that's all they get. Now they get to see everything you did in the story in real time.
And how would that differ from like an Instagram? So in your words, in your vision, how is that different than just seeing several Instagram posts spread over 2 or 3 days on the same trip?
I mean, Snapchat's just more of somebody could swipe up and it makes it a little bit easier to conversate, because DMs usually on Instagram don't go for too long. It's, oh, okay, cool. And then it's done. But on Snapchat, you can just keep going and then it just keeps going from there, and you can send pictures way easier than Snapchat. I mean, Instagram. Sure. And it just, you can add captions and filters and all this stuff to where it shows actually where you are. And it has, if you're in Brazil, it'll show the city you're in or where you're eating or what time it is. And it's all different things that make it a little bit better than Instagram.
Good point. We didn't even talk about it. Yeah. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one thing I wanted to, so to your point a minute ago. So, hey, you know, you don't have to ask them how was your trip or how was your summer, but isn't that sort of fostering a lack of communication or inability to communicate? And I know that's always been certainly I'm taking a moment to be critical of our own generation, being the millennials, and somewhat, you know, inspecting the same with the Gen Z out there. But doesn't that eliminate the need to have those conversations in a way?
I mean, the way I see it, for me, it at least brought me a little closer to people. So if somebody was randomly on your Snapchat and they saw it, they may say something then. But when you get back and you see them in person, you might be able to actually talk to them instead of just snapping. Because Snapchat kind of brings in that, a little bit more of being able to talk with somebody without seeing them face to face. But then when you get face to face, you feel a little more comfortable talking to them.
So maybe in a way you have a little bit more of an intelligent conversation with them, or better conversation with them as a result of Snapchat. Then,
well, that and you're safer. You're safer. See what I mean? From that. This is great, Justin. So let's. This reminds me of something, because I've known this young man since he was a lot littler, I guess you might say. You know, just or younger. And this young man today has absolutely transformed in many ways from whence I had known him, let's say earlier in his high school experience. So let me get you to talk about how is it that being active and immersed in that medium and with all these people and relationships, and then kind of being an influencer of sorts, how did that change you? How did that change your, maybe your self-esteem or worldview or view of yourself?
I mean, when I originally started out, I didn't talk to too many people. I was kind of always nervous. If I said something wrong, they would always remember that, or I was just afraid of what they would think. And going through Snapchat and being able to post stuff to see people like looking at my life and what I actually do, that kind of gives them a little more reason to talk to me. And it was just a little more beneficial, because I couldn't really never talk to somebody face to face without knowing them for a good amount of time. And Snapchat just kind of helped, because they would randomly swipe up and we would start talking, and then you would just see that you have something in common with that person, and that would make you want to talk to them more. And with me, with having around 7,000 people on my Snapchat, I could go out and never have met this person before, and they just come up and say, "Hey, are you Winston, or are you on that guy on Snapchat?" And it just starts a conversation there that they know who I am, instead of just randomly walking around and just seeing faces.
Isn't that interesting? Again, it's that level of, it's that I've played this before years ago. Had a kid, that I was working with. I was coaching a kid years ago, painfully shy, whatever. He went to one of the area high schools down here, Justin, you know, the South Lake Flower Mound area. Guy gets an Instagram account. I said, "Look, there's this unwritten rule. If I'll just pick South Lake. If you go to South Lake, for instance, most kids will follow you back on your Instagram, even if they hate you in South Lake, because they know you go to South Lake." Anyway, so it's fun, right? That was just kind of the rule. That was like the 2009, 2010 through 2014 rule. Like, even if your biggest hater hated you, or the biggest bully, like, yeah, man, I'll still follow you on Instagram. Anyway, so these guys would take pictures of themselves. They get so many likes, and God forbid somebody would comment on a picture, which is like hella intimacy on Instagram, right? For somebody actually said something about the picture. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are me and you like that right now? So anyway, but with the Snapchat, it just takes it that much deeper. You know what I mean? Because this is what I'm doing. This was the moment I was in. This is what it looks like. This is what I look like. And you can get that validation. You can get a lot of validation really quick. And you can get it from, depending on how you work your numbers, a crud ton of people, right? And you feel like, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this world, or I'm not the only one that feels this way. And you know what? That's one of the things about adolescent mental health development, is that identity. You know, you're building your identity as a teenager. And if you feel like a piece of crap, or you feel bad or whatever, well, that's not going to be a good thing. But if you can get some validation for the things that you like, or that you do, or you do, or that, not for you, but it's like, oh wow, there's other people that like, you know, like there's a geeky side of me that likes ham radios, the old CBs on steroid, and boy, there's a few people out there that still have a license that can still do that. And it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Here's my people, my brethren, you know what I mean? So it's not necessarily a siloed situation, because like you said, you have people from all over will talk to you or respond to you or whatever. So yeah, who would have thought that, right, the broad-based applicability that Snapchat has with the level of experience, the intimacy of the experience, the ability now to do monetizing and links and stuff like that. So it's really forming out to be quite a channel.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's fascinating discussion, you know, for me today. I feel like an old man now. And we're only talking about one generation in difference, but I guess I need to brush up on my Snapchat here in the coming week.
Hey, you know, I mean, I'm seeing more and more broad-based commercials, you know. I'm seeing more and more commercials on Snapchat. It's almost getting annoying, you know, that same blonde-haired guy selling something. I can't get through. I'm like, get out of there, you know what I mean? So, you know, they're seeing the value in it because it's I'm starting to see larger companies kind of do an interval. They'll do an interval advertisement.
Right.
I look through the third person's and the fifth person's and the seventh person's stories. If I'm blowing through people's stories, then they will strategically time these, you know, these advertisements, you know, for whatever. So it's definitely because wherever there's a million or so people congregating, the marketers will follow.
Yep, that's the truth, right? They know where we are and how to market to us. They're good at that.
So I know I've seen marketing for things I would never think, like, why would you use Snap for that? So that'd be interesting, Justin. I know you're involved with a company. Just to
somebody use that
kind of software platform for their business because, oh yeah, I saw you on Snap, man. That's pretty cool. I have a small business and I'm a sales force, and we thought we'd use Vablet, man. Thanks for the Snap ad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's making me think through my social media marketing strategy to Gen Z, as it seems like, you know, that is the platform, right? Like, why bother with the other ones? That's the one to go with. So, you got me thinking, Weston. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you just got to know how to play the game. It's, you know, there's, like, if you want to go for an older group, you post something that the older people would like. But with my generation, I know now all of a sudden girls are going on Instagram looking for that cute guy without a shirt. So if you do that for your Snapchat, you can get all them. But if you want guys, you could post funny things on your story. I mean, it just goes on from, like, what you want. You just post that, and you can get that group of people going, honestly.
Wow. So you're saying you can lead, you can drive select followership based on what you post.
Yeah, so if you wanted multiple groups, you could post a cute picture of you, and some girls might be like, hey, he's cute, and then they send it to their friends, and they're like, oh, he's cute, and they send it to their friends, and you just get from there. And for guys, you just post something stupid or funny, and they're like, that's pretty funny, I'm gonna send that to my friend, and then they laugh, and then they send it, and it just keeps going on from there. And then your name's just getting tossed around to where eventually somebody's like, I know your name, but I don't know from where. I just remember I saw something from you, and that's how they know you.
And see, so that's the good and the bad right there of the whole platform, because I have random people want to follow me, and they look scary. Justin, like, or straight up not people I would, you know, like,
yeah.
And I'd be like, dude, you posted this thing and somebody shared it with me and da, da, da. And so it's like, and I, you know, I refused them, like, oh, okay, peace, you know, and then I dump them. But, so sadly the thing went from a very private medium to now a strangely infectious public, possible, medium. That's not to say anybody's Snapchat account isn't going to be threatened with, you know, being, you know, preyed upon by strangers. I mean, if you have stuff that looks viral and people are going to share it, then the strangers are going to come. But if you just do straight things to people that are in your contacts list, you'll be okay. But yeah, man. Well, interesting. Is there anything else you are older listeners, older than you, just kidding. Anything, our, which is everybody. anything about? I mean, do you think Snapchat is the go to medium for Generation Z? And what other trends do you see Generation Z folks really sticking to that differentiate your generation from, let's say, even Justin's millennials here in the 30s and up?
I can really see Snapchat still growing because a lot of people get on it, even if they're super young, they're still getting on, and everybody's using it because who wants to text nowadays when you can just send a picture? That's what everyone's using now. They don't text as much, so you'll see people on Snapchat. But I've seen YouTube start growing even more, where people are like, I want to start a YouTube. I want to do this with my friend. And then they just film it, and you could go viral from just doing something that you liked.
Right.
So YouTube and Snapchat, I could see really growing even more.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree and echo what you said on the YouTube front. You know, I don't know if I shared this with you, Bruce, but one of Naomi's good friends, you know, she knows, started at YouTube building her channel when she was 15 or 16 years old, and now has, you know, several million subscribers, and she's a multimillionaire, and she's, you know, like a ambassador for T-Mobile. You know, Naomi got a nice little royalty check because they used some clip from when they were vacationing when she was like 18, you know, and she wasn't even shown on camera. So I can only imagine what, you know, this lady got as her royalty check. So case in point, yeah, I definitely agree with the YouTube sentiment. You know, that is a hot one. In fact, I was listening to Gary Vee yesterday, and he said that was actually one of his largest mistakes, was not staying with YouTube. He pivoted away from it when he was starting out, and he's like, you know, I would have generated hundreds of millions of dollars in royalty and streaming media opportunities if I had stayed with it. So yeah, good call out there, Weston.
Yep. So true. So yeah, that's interesting that, you know, YouTube's always been around, and yet it is really a central focal point and still, like you said, still growing and those two. But I think they're orthogonally rotated for our statistics fans. I think YouTube, although has some similar things, it's different. It's a different experience. It's more of a tutorial thing or an entertainment thing, YouTube TV, all that type of thing, right? But this, again, it's going to be hard other than implant a chip into somebody's brain. You know what I mean? Being, you know, or some sort of a VR thing that comes out next. But I don't even think that'll go because people don't want to go through the VR strap on the thing. It gets on your phone in the moment. So, well, folks, let's go ahead and wrap it up for today. Woo! Another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show. And, Winston, how can folks find you and follow you on particularly Snapchat, but how can they follow you otherwise?
Well, I made my Snapchat name a while ago, but it's your boy Winston, YEBOIWINSTON. You can also follow me on Instagram at Herman Winston with Herman has two N's. And then you can email me at WinstonHerman2N@gmail.com.
Awesome. So yeah. And when you go to his Snapchat, and what's your snap count on that one?
1.3.
There you go. A third of a million more. So yeah, 1.3 million as a snap score. You just don't see that on every street corner. So that's good stuff, brother, especially for a kid who actually is normal and has a life and goes to school, stuff like that. So props to you. Thanks for coming on the show today, man. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you. Thank you for filling us in on that other corner of our world that we don't necessarily pay attention to, but you bet, you know, we're going to be paying attention to that for the 2020 election, and when some of these Generation Z start voting for people and or buying lots of products, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be the popular kid here for the next 6 or 7 years as marketers try to figure out that generation. All right, Justin?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, appreciate it. Nice to meet you, and great tutorial. I learned a lot today, so I appreciate that.
All right, folks. Don't forget to see us on our social media. We have a Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. Our Instagram is The Concierge Coaches, right, Justin?
That is right. We are the Ohio State University or whatever.
Yeah. And then our hide and go seek LinkedIn page. We're there. You can find us and good luck. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks find you?
Yeah, nimmergood.com. So just my last name.com. You can find me and reconnect with me through all my social media outlets through there.
Beautiful. Okay, then it's a wrap, folks. Have a great week, and we'll see y'all here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. See you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.